Hello and welcome to another episode of ACS Law Talk, a podcast presented by the American Constitution Society. I'm Joseph Jerome, a law fellow here at ACS, and in this episode, we're discussing gun violence and the prospect for gun control. This year alone, gun violence has made headlines, first in the tragic death of Trayvon Martin, where we all sort of learned about stand-your-ground laws for the first time. And then there were the rash of mass killings that began in Aurora, Colorado. Since 2005, the United States has seen more than 60 mass shootings. Now, while these tragic episodes make the headlines, many thousands more of Americans die each year due to firearms without much outrage. Many die alone, many suffer from violence in our major cities. Our national politicians have been utterly silent about this issue. During the presidential campaign, the sum total of the discussion on guns were a few seconds in response to a town hall question during the second debate. To discuss gun politics in America, I'm joined by Professor Adam Winkler. Adam Winkler is a law professor at UCLA, where he is a specialist in constitutional law. He's written extensively on the Second Amendment, and he's the author of the book, Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. So, Professor Winkler, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So, in the past year, there have been dramatic examples of gun violence that have made headlines across the country. You know, it started this year with the tragic killing of Trayvon Martin. More recently, there's been a case in Montana that involved that state's really very powerful castle doctrine that effectively gives people license to kill on their own property. And of course, we saw a tragic string of mass shootings that began in Aurora, Colorado in July. Now, while these are big, isolated instances, and they're covered as such in the media, they almost obscure the regular instances of gun violence that occur daily in this country. Earlier this year, Senator Dianne Feinstein called for us to have a sane conversation about gun control, but she warned that the election year wasn't a good time to do this. And as everybody knows, gun control received like 5 minutes of discussion during the presidential debate. Now, Professor Winkler, you know, you wrote in the Daily Beast that neither candidate seemed to even know what they were talking about. So I was hoping you could just explain what's going on with guns. What will it take for this country to have a serious discussion about guns?
Well, the only thing that comes from these horrific events like these mass shootings that get so much public attention is that it does get us to focus on guns and the problem of gun violence. However, these kinds of events can also distract us from the more commonplace costs and harms of guns. Only a handful of the approximately 30,000 gun fatalities every year are caused by mass shootings. Suicide actually turns out to be the most common cause of gun fatalities, making a little bit more than 50% of all gun fatalities caused by suicide. Homicide makes up about 45% of the fatalities, and about two-thirds of that is, according to studies, gang or recidivist criminal related. So it's recidivist criminals committing the crimes. We also often hear about childhood accidents. Some kid gets his hand on his dad's gun and shoots his little three-year-old friend or younger brother. Those are obviously horrible, horrible tragedies. But those kinds of incidents pale in comparison to these other causes of death. If we want to make a dent in gun violence, we have to figure out a way to reduce suicides and homicides. Given how many of the homicides are really recidivist criminals and gangs, it's hard to make much of a dent there. So maybe suicide is the place we can make the biggest dent. But again, that's going to rely on having serious reform of our mental health system, which we don't really have. You're right that gun control received only a few minutes of discussion in the presidential debate. All summer, gun control advocates were begging the presidential candidates to talk about guns, and their argument became more pressing after the Aurora shooting, which was absolutely awful, of course, and the other high-profile mass shootings we had over the course of the summer. But the problem is at least from my perspective, is that at that presidential debate, what we saw is that neither of the candidates for president seemed to have a good grasp of America's gun laws or our gun problem. President Obama suggested that we need, and I'm going to quote here, he said, to get automatic weapons that kill folks in amazing numbers out of the hands of criminals and the mentally ill. But automatic weapons, that is say machine guns, a gun that when you pull the trigger once, it fires multiple rounds automatically. recently. In the debate, President Obama seemed to suggest that automatic weapons are responsible for killing a lot of people out there. But truth be told, machine guns account for almost no gun deaths every year. Machine guns are pretty rare in America. We've had pretty strict gun control on machine guns for a long time. Perhaps trying to correct the president, Mitt Romney in the debate suggested it was already illegal to own a machine gun. But that wasn't right either. It's illegal to sell a newly manufactured machine gun, but it's perfectly lawful to own one. And there's about a couple hundred thousand that have been grandfathered in and that are currently in private hands. If you ever go to Las Vegas, you'll see signs at the airport advertising gun ranges where you can shoot machine guns. And so there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about guns, even among our presidential candidates who are supposed to take the lead in addressing our gun issues in America.
So I why do you think that is? It seems shocking to me how misinformed just the general public seems to be about guns.
Well, the general public is misinformed about guns. And I have found when I wrote my book, Gunfight, I found that, number one, I was misinformed about guns. I believed a lot of things that when I did research, I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I found so many surprising things. One of the reasons I wrote Gunfight was in the hopes of educating Americans a little bit more about guns, not necessarily just about the particular types of guns, although there is a real lack of knowledge about that, especially, unfortunately, among gun control people. Many of the people I know who are the most adamant supporters of gun control seem not to know very much about guns, which makes their laws or their proposals much less likely to be effective because they don't really understand the guns that they're trying to regulate. But even among gun rights advocates and gun control advocates both, the biggest thing that misconception I found was that we often understand America to have a gun culture, that guns are as much an essential part of American culture and have shaped America in profound ways. And I think that's right. But at the same time, we also have a gun control culture, that gun control has been as much a part of the story of guns in America as the six shooter and the Second Amendment. The founding fathers had gun control. The Wild West had gun control. Gun control has really profoundly shaped America, too. And the story of guns is not a one-sided story of gun rights. It's a more balanced and nuanced story of how we've had gun rights, but also tried to balance those rights with public safety through gun control.
Well, what sort of gun controls should we have? And I mean, maybe that's idealistic, considering I find it sort of funny that already we've seen gun sales spike since the president's reelection out of fear of new gun controls. But yet, I think it seems probably improbable for any restriction to get through the House. So, like, what gun controls should we have, and what's realistic?
Right. Well, first of all, the most important thing we need to realize for all gun policy in America is a number, 280 million. That is the approximate number of guns that are out there in America. And I think because there's 280 million guns, almost one per person and more than one per adult, we have to realize that any new law that we adopt will only be effective at the margins, because any new law we adopt, say banning a particular kind of weapon or banning the sale of a particular type of weapon, like the assault weapons ban that we had from 94 to 2004, it just banned the sale of those guns. They run into conflict with the fact that there's 280 million guns already out there. Some people would like to see guns have special technology adopted to them where they can only fire if they register the fingerprint of the appropriate owner. Well, that's all well and good, but you're not going to be able to realistically get those kinds of devices on 280 million guns that are already out there. So that kind of law is likely to be less effective. So that number is really important. What kinds of gun laws should we have? Well, recognizing that any new gun laws are likely to only work at the margins, and we should have realistic expectations about them, I think what we should do, more importantly than anything else, is increase or improve America's background check system. We currently have a law that requires people to undertake a background check before they buy a firearm. However, that background check only applies when you buy a gun from a federally licensed dealer. That is to say, someone who's regularly in the business of dealing guns and has a federal license to deal a gun. If you're not a federally licensed dealer and you're just selling, say, your own collection of guns, or you have your father left you a gun and you want to get rid of it, or let's say you have a number of guns and just got sick of one particular gun and so you want to get rid of it, raise some money, and go buy something else, you do not have to conduct a background check, although it's perfectly lawful for you to sell that gun. As a result, about 40% of lawful gun sales in America occur without a background check. There is no reason in America today why anyone should be able to sell or buy a gun without a background check. Everyone agrees that convicted felons, the mentally ill, drug users, people dishonorably charged from the military, etc., should not be allowed to possess firearms. But yet we don't have a system in place that can readily identify those people when they try to purchase a gun from a private seller, someone who's not a federally licensed dealer, either at a gun show or at a gun range or through a classified ad.
Well, so I guess I'm just, as a broad question, how do we move forward? I know in Gunfight you sort of wrote about the evolution and I guess I would say the radicalization of the NRA and how they've moved from sort of being open to reasonable gun controls to being sort of absolutely stubbornly opposed to any sort of restraints, and a lot of our national politicians are sort of are terrified to go up against this. So I guess I'm just wondering, there's the common refrain is, you know, if we enforced all the laws that are on the books, we'd be fine. And, you know, you're advocating for enhanced background checks. So I guess I just, how do we move the dialogue forward?
Well, I think it's not going to be easy to move the dialogue forward. One of the things we need to do is we need the extremists on both sides of this issue to give up their unreasonable approach to guns. Some people on the gun rights side, as you mentioned, seem to believe that any gun law is an infringement of the Second Amendment. But as I argue in Gunfight, nothing could be further from the truth. As long as we've had the Second Amendment, we've also had gun control laws. The Founding Fathers had gun control laws such that today's NRA leaders would probably never accept them. At the same time, some people on the gun control side seem to believe that we can ignore the Second Amendment, which does, I think, capture one of our oldest, most established constitutional rights, and get rid of all the guns in America. Not only does this deny the history of gun rights in America, an important part of our history, I think, but also it's profoundly unrealistic. With 280 million guns in America, we're never going to get rid of the guns. We've tried to eliminate small, easy-to-conceal things that people love in the Prohibition era. That didn't work. We've tried to do it again with the war on drugs. That hasn't worked. I don't think it would work if we tried to ban guns, too. I think that with regards to getting a serious debate, I do think that the NRA was really hurt by this past election. I think the NRA went very strong against President Obama, went out very much, spent a lot of money to favor congressional and senatorial candidates. And the NRA had a terrible track record in this past election. I think for years people have believed, and I myself have believed, that one of the reasons why gun control doesn't move is because no Democrat wants to talk about gun control because they're fearful of losing an election where the NRA gets involved on the side of their opponent. I think that idea is going to start breaking down. I think the NRA is now being proven to be much more vulnerable politically than people imagined it was for a long time. We'll see how that works out.
Okay. Well, so maybe there is some hope for national legislation on the issue. But you've noted that part of the problem is that we have sort of 51 different gun control regimes across the country. And, you know, as we've seen, a lot of localities are trying to get a handle on guns. You see mayors like Michael Bloomberg who are standing aside with their police commissioners trying to do new and innovative ways to control guns. And I guess, do you have any thoughts on what sort of productive policies they could put into effect locally?
Well, we've seen some local communities put in place some really effective, at least short-term effective laws, or not necessarily laws, but programs like outreach that try to bring together leaders in gang communities, ministers, former gangbangers, to get together to try to identify Who are the people who are most likely to be committing crimes? What are their most common sources of illegal guns? And trying to use a variety of techniques from outreach and investigation and other things to try to crack down on the guns in these areas. And so far, those programs have proven to be somewhat effective. The difficulty is that those programs tend to be very expensive. Local jurisdictions are struggling with budget crises right now. The idea of doing innovative programs that are expensive to limit gun crime, it just isn't at the top of the agenda of very many localities. When it comes to just passing laws and legislation, the truth of the matter is local laws won't be very effective. Look, California has the strictest gun control laws in the nation. But what does that mean when someone can easily cross over the border into Nevada, find a gun show and purchase a gun? Now, it's not to say that it's lawful for the person to go to Nevada and buy a gun. You're supposed to only sell a gun to someone who lives in your own state. However, it's very easy for guns to cross state borders, and certainly for cities, very easy for guns to cross the borders of municipalities and counties. And so it's very difficult for local governments to pass effective gun control laws. And the kinds of effective programs that we've seen in the past are very expensive, and local governments don't seem that interested in doing it right now.
Well, that's not exactly a happy note, but do you think there's anything positive to look forward to in the near-term future on gun control?
I think it's actually a long-term future, and I am positive about it. I talk about this in Gunfight, too. I think that the Heller case, as much as many people on the left were upset about that case, I think that's an important case that's going to help put us, in the long run, on the proper path. I think it's really essential that that liberals accept the right of the people to keep and bear arms, accept that constitutional right. I think the fear of eliminating that right and of taking away all the guns really has driven the gun rights people towards the extreme. And I think that it's important that Heller not become the Roe versus Wade of the left, where we try to overturn this for the next 20 or 30 years. As I've said, the guns are here to stay with 280 million of them. The best thing we can do, and I think one of the things that Heller makes clear we can do, is accept the presence of guns, but also push for reasonable and effective gun laws.
As always, theme music is Brass Beat by Covert, available for use on a Creative Commons license. I hope you enjoyed the show.